So if the ascension feels awkward to a modern mind because of the science of it, it was awkward to those who were first believers. In those early days, scripture says, some had a tough time, and it wasn't so much the idea of ascension. Most Near Eastern religions, Hellenic religions, had some form of ascension, of the deity or the demigod or the hero. That wasn't the hard part to believe. It was that this was someone in recent history, someone who was close by. Jesus? The one who we walked with? How does that work? There is something in this feast, which was a huge, important feast in the early church, that goes very deep, that is telling the truth about reality. It is central to incarnation, that whatever comes from God returns to God. Which is to say, there is a circuit and a cycle that God holds, that is always whole, no matter what part of that cycle we are on. A deep mystery that is true even when we can't see it. And what's even more important about this particular celebration is that it's not so much about what happens to Jesus, what's happening with God, it's what happens with us. So this last 7 weeks, I'm going to actually bring it out closer. We've had this resurrection icon. And if you notice, Jesus is pulling, standing on the cross, and he's pulling two people up out of their coffins. That's Adam and Eve. That's a statement saying what this does is include us all in a process of being made whole in God. And the ascension is essentially, this is what's happening here, our ascension, that we are taken up into God. Nothing is lost. Nothing is left. This is not a tragic human condition. The human condition is something, and the condition of everything created is something that is all part of God. So, ascension is kind of like a spoiler about all of life, the life we cannot see, that we are part of a safe, connected universe. Coming from God, going to God, held in God in between. Now, to be honest, some days I forget that. And I don't live like that. I live as if there were a plague or a pandemic, even when there isn't one. That it's, as Javier is fond of saying, you've adopted the stark motto, winter is coming. Because some things think, it does feel scarce. And I don't understand. I think all of us coming out of the pandemic are being told we're a little traumatized, we're a lot traumatized, and uncertain. Where will our next certainty come from? What's next? That's a real thing and a big thing that we've got to live into. So for me, there's a kind of resonance in this moment. Think about this. The Pentecost we celebrate next week, but this gap between when the disciples had Jesus with them and when they didn't. But before they knew what this was all about, that gap, that uncertain gap. If we asked them, who are you? In this just this moment of the story, what would they say? They might say, well, I was a fisherman. Here's who I used to be before this all happened. And here's who I thought I was when I was with Jesus. And here's what I've been told it will be like, but I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know who I am. I don't know what this is all about. There's a gap, this time of uncertainty. But I think this is a very important time, this waiting, as we discern again, as individuals, as a community of St. Paul's, as a nation and world, what comes next. It's a great benefit to say, I don't know, but let's listen together. Take heart. In Jesus' advice or his word to his disciples, he doesn't say, go and preach the gospel in today's gospel. He says, stay in the city. Don't go anywhere. Wait. Wait for what will happen next. It's hard to wait because we've been waiting so long, a little antsy, but so important. Because this is not a stall, this is a time of incubation, of gestation. There's a book I'm reading right now on church life that says very simply, but cogently, that it's more important to ask the bigger questions than to come up with the right answers. But often those answers are too small or based on what we knew before rather than the current reality or what's coming. That we do better to just say, I don't know. Let's listen for what's now and what's next. The other thing that the author says is that often the church, throughout its history, has asked the questions about itself. What should the church be doing? Who are we in society? Rather than flipping it and saying, a more interesting question, where do we see God already at work? Out there, in here. What's God already doing? And go join that. It's a simple but subtle and profound difference. He also says, when we're asking these questions, it's instead of asking ourselves the questions, why not ask the people who are around us, who are not part of this circle? What do you need? What do you think? So this last week, I did that literally. I asked the mayor if I could come and talk to him, and he said yes. And so I asked him that question, what do you think Norwalk needs? How can we be part of that? What are the church's role? And I hope that wasn't a question about the church. It was, I meant it as a question about like, what's listening? Like, what am I hearing in what he says or in between the lines? And we shared our thoughts and observations and didn't come back with the answer to anything, but we came back with the beginning of a relationship. And the question on the table now. Another example. I heard from Sarah Johnson this past week saying, we reached out, those of us who were tutoring in this past year, who were tutored before this past year, who couldn't tutor in the Norwalk schools. They had been tutoring primarily Central American children who had come up and they were tutoring them in math, but of course it was tutoring in English and life and just helping them get a toehold. So she wrote to the teacher saying, since we haven't been able to do that, is there anything we can do now at the end of this year? And the teacher wrote back and saying, oh, thank you. You know, we are just kind of gasping toward the finish line. And together, now we have an opportunity that I invite you all to give very generous to, of creating, giving them, they're going to be baseball caps and water bottles and backpacks that have the Norwalk Schools logo on it so that they feel connected to that experience. That's a gift as they go. Came up with that together.
And we'll have an opportunity to give after church or talking to Sarah Johnson directly. Small thing, but once again, relational, connected, and discovered by asking, by connecting. Now what? Here we are, face to face again, saying in the guild room as we began that if we just got to see each other's face and went straight home, it would be enough. This is wonderful, to see faces in the space. We have been all along, but to see so many, and to know that we're on a trajectory, God willing. Now is the time I invite us to continue to pause, listen, be okay with saying, I don't know. And do it in the context of this extraordinary possibility that the ascension offers, that this is a safe and connected universe, that we don't have to make something happen. We just need to participate in what is always already happening, of God incarnating, going forth, being in the world and changing it through the power of love in its millions and trillions of iterations, and then being drawn back into the original shape of God in God. What's the work? This last year I was in a think tank group, and one of the exercises they set for us was saying, if you knew you could not fail, what would you try? If you knew you could not fail, that was the parameter. And just adding that in kind of broke us open to be able to think new thoughts. My husband Javier teaches actors, and one of the questions he uses when they're stuck in their process and say, I don't know, is to say, well, if you did know, what would it be? And just saying that often is enough of a trigger to break them into saying, well, let me have an answer. Spirit is already there and moving. It's not that we don't have the answer. We just don't know what we don't know. And we discover it together. So try it. Try those, asking the question of yourself, and even being more daring to say, I'm not going to answer the question, I'm just going to pose it and let it sit there. And we'll be doing that as a community as well. If we knew we could not fail, that we lived in that safe of a universe, what would we try? What would we do? And if we don't know, if we did know, what would it be? There's a question of power, once again. Power to do and be. Connecting the circuits. Allowing it. Imagining it. God doing it through us. It's not about us. It's about getting our fears and our doubts out of the way so we can say yes to the Spirit in this moment. This is the great incarnation, resurrection, ascension circle of being and becoming.